Welcome everybody, Prophecy in the Spotlight here, Brother Goodwin, and I got a question for you. Who goes in the rapture? Does anybody get left behind in the rapture? How about those that are not living for God? How about those that are backslid or maybe out in the tavern somewhere? Do they go in the rapture? We're going to find out today. Doc has a brand new book, Who Will Go in the Rapture? Who will go in the rapture? We're going to discuss this today. Doc will tell you the same thing. We get this question every week. Brother Goodwin or Dr. Hiltemiddle, if someone's not right with the Lord, do they still go in the rapture? We get that question every week from some folks. We want to help you with this, and I believe we're going to. So get you some water, get you some popcorn, and stand by. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we're glad to have you with us. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to be a little not so deep, not so rough today as some of our shows have been. Doc, you got a verse for us you were going to read.
Yeah.
A rapture verse from Thessalonians.
Well, Paul said, and very familiar portion to folks, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18 then says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
See, that's one of the purposes of understanding comfort. You know, I thought, I almost started laughing. I thought you were going to get preaching there. You started to say, I forgot the word now, but descending.
Descending.
I thought you were going to get into it there. But Doc, you got a little book here that you wrote. Mm-hmm. It's not a big book.
I've written it a few years back, but I've revamped it and made some changes in it and updated it, and it's like a new book.
Well, I have a proof copy in my hand, so it's being
printed right now.
Yeah, when this show airs, it'll be
printed
on the shelf.
By then. Yes.
So folks, you can go to the website and get this, Prophecy in the Spotlight. You can order it. We're pretty sure when this airs that it'll already be in he'll have cases of them at the house. So she's got a picture of it up there. Looks a little long in that picture, but that's the best we could come up with at the moment. And a little long and skinny, but it's a normal size book, actually. And we're going to talk to Doc about this book. And you start out, Doc, with this. I get the same question often, almost in every church. Who will be the ones that are raptured? So those of us that are preachers and teachers of the Bible, our first thought is you should know the answer to this because we've studied these things. But many basic things of the end times are in the foundation of our understanding, but not for every believer. So that's the first paragraph of the book.
Right.
And you give some introductory thoughts here. You give some scriptures. But I made a note right here, Doc, that I wanted to throw your way. You said this, "I have also come to the understanding that very few, including Bible teachers, understand or do not follow basic principles of Bible interpretation, Bible study, and that's true, isn't it?
I know it's true because of the conversations that I've had with, got a problem?
No, go ahead. I was telling her to put the book up there.
In conversations with preachers, sometimes they get pretty argumentative about a subject. And you'll say, "Well, let's just let the Bible speak for itself." And you'll read a scripture or whatever, and all of a sudden they'll say, "Yeah, I know that's what it says, but..." And I said, "Wait a minute, I didn't see 'but' in there."
Yeah.
And we always seem to want to bring the baggage of somebody else's teaching to us in the past or some interpretation that we've gleaned from another teacher.
Yeah.
And we want to apply it to Scripture.
And, Doc, that's why I wrote the book, Seven Laws of Bible Study.
Yes.
I'm trying to get her to get that up. She hasn't understood me here. But I'm over here while the camera's on you, and I'm trying to get her attention.
Seven Laws Bible study is important.
Yeah, and it helped people understand how to put the Bible together.
I say a little bit in the booklet about two major things. Letting the Bible be its own dictionary, and then let it be its own commentary.
Hey, someone said the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible.
That's right.
And
I agree.
You know what you find when you look at commentary? And we all do it. Yeah. The passage that's tough. And you're trying
and
to
that's
find
the one that's blank.
Yeah, and you'll go to these commentaries, and we have them on our computers, and that verse will be there's nothing. He has nothing on
nothing
that.
Nothing on it.
And
he was searching for the answer.
He didn't get it either, and he didn't have a computer to get to go search. So he had to look in dusty
books.
Well,
I'm glad we do have. There are some things about the age we're living in that I do like. I don't have to open 20 books while I'm studying. I can have it all there. But I do miss, there's something about looking at the printed pages.
Yeah.
Just something about.
I told you that in the office. I said, about your book here. Yeah. I said, we get a proof copy sent to us. And you say, well, I've already checked it on my computer. It's not the same
not
as
the
opening
same.
Up the
and
paper
And that's the
book.
Same way with the Bible. I'm glad we have it in our computer. But I go to churches, you see it too. You'll say, okay, turn to page so and or turn to chapter so and so, and people get their. And that's okay. I understand we live in. But folks, let me tell you, there's nothing like handling the Word of God.
Yeah, and that's me. I'm a paper Bible man, I'll look stuff up on my phone or computer.
Oh, yeah.
But when I read the Bible, this is what I mark my Bible.
And when I'm writing like the booklet or preparing a message, I'm glad that I can take that and I can take those verses and paste it in, and I can make it big enough so that I can read it and when I'm preaching it.
Well, Doc, you said in 1 Corinthians 14, for God is not the author of confusion.
Yeah.
And I like, speaking of confusion, I like how you did your outline here. You said, let's look at these five areas, and you listed them. Here's what's in the book, folks, about the rapture. What, when, why, who, and how. Those are the three chapters that Doc discusses in the book. So let's look at these, Doc, and we'll have to kind of go kind of fast on some of these. We'll just try to bring out as much as we can in the next 17 or 18 minutes here. It is true, you said it is true, the word rapture is not in the Bible.
A lot of people,
30 seconds.
One of the first things that people will say, well, rapture's not in the Bible. And we have people today, preachers and teachers, that are saying there's no such thing as a rapture.
Yeah.
But the word caught up, the word that rapture comes from, raptilio, means to be caught up.
Yeah, and that's
what we find in the Bible.
We shall be caught up.
Well, neither is the word Trinity.
That's right. But the word Bible's not in the Bible.
And we still touch about it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it's a faulty argument.
It's a straw man argument.
Yeah. It means nothing. The rapture, whether the word's in there or not, the rapture is a biblical event, and it's coming sooner than people realize.
Well, I hope so.
So you discussed that a little bit, but let's move on here. You said this, I am convinced that this event we call the rapture will bring a close to the present church age.
Yes.
And so in other words, that's the end of the church, right?
I think so. I'm confident in myself that it is. Here's the thing. When you read the verses I read just a while ago, it's the catching away of the saints.
Yeah.
And you hear everybody constantly always saying it's
the rapture,
of the church. And it is in the sense that this is the first time that all of the church, past, present, are one complete unit in heaven.
We'll all be a called out assembly.
That's right.
Assembled together at one moment.
And that'll be it.
Yeah.
And so it is in that sense. But for those of us that are living, and the rapture itself is the catching away of the saints, because it's the saints that's the bride of Christ.
Yeah, and if he comes for the church, there's a lot of people not in the church.
That's right.
Now we get into Baptist doctrine there. We don't want to go too far with it.
But that's why your Bible is very clear. It says saints.
He's coming for saved people.
He's
the saints. That's who the saints
born
are.
Born again people.
See, a lot of people have this thing, this mental block, that saints are some kind of holy people that are singled out.
We've allowed the Catholic Church, who uses terminologies of somebody that's in their estimation has lived a righteous life and done some kind of good deeds, and so therefore they call them a saint.
Yeah.
When in reality, everybody that's born again in God's eyes is seen through the blood of Christ. The righteousness of Christ has been applied to our account, and as a result, we are saints.
Paul said, wrote to the people, to the saints in Ephesus.
Yes.
And he said that over and over again in that
and light. And I realize sometimes we as preachers will say, well, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And that is true. But we're more than that. We're not only sinners that have been saved by grace, but we've been saved by grace to be a saint.
Yep.
To be in the family of God, to have the family resemblance lived out in flesh.
Now, you mentioned two terms here, caught up and changed.
Yes.
Now, they're the same thing, but they're not the same
thing. The same writer, Paul, wrote about this in 1 Thessalonians that we read. And then he wrote in, I believe it's chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm.
he writes about the same subject, but he doesn't talk about being caught up. He talks about in a moment and a twinkling of an eye.
We shall all be changed.
We shall all be changed.
Yeah.
And what we're looking for at the rapture is our changing from this world to the next, and our changing from mortality to immortality. It's when we get a new body,
yes,
and we move out of time into eternity with our eternal souls.
Hey, how many of you folks out there could use a new body today?
Amen.
And we're going to get a, this
we
one
are.
Wears out.
But Paul speaks more and elaborates more on this subject by using the term of being changed than he does concerning being caught up.
Now, the second point you gave was when. Now, we got the what? Now the
yeah.
when. The when.
When.
And you made this statement at the end of this present church age.
I agree. I that's what I believe. I think that's what the Bible says. Because if the Lord takes all of the saints, the dead rise, and those that are living are moving, there is no more church other than the one that's going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
And so it's the end of the church age on earth.
There'll be churches here, and some of them won't be affected, but not God's New Testament church that he founded. You know, churches with the name on them.
That's another subject. But yes, once the Holy Spirit, that's why Paul wrote, we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but really when you get to chapter 5, you ought to take that out of there because those verses go right to the same subject. And that's talking about when the restrainer is going to be removed. I'm telling you, you get it all together.
Yeah.
He says in chapter 5, we're children of the day, walking in the light. We're not to be taken, not be overtaken by these things. We ought to know what's going on.
Yeah. You said that God alone knows when the event takes place.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with trying to figure it out. Nothing wrong with guessing.
Nothing wrong.
But really, only God knows.
And we can see signs that would tell us it must be getting close.
Yeah.
And I believe we are. But Jesus is the one who said the Father alone knows the time.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that time myself.
Yep. And all right, so believers, in light of that, believers should be living in expectation that at any moment the trump could sound and we would be raptured to glory. That sums up the win right there, doesn't it?
We ought to be living. I'm writing another booklet right now that'll come out pretty soon on the judgment seat of Christ. Because as soon as we leave the rapture, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. And the record of our lives is going to be evaluated there in preparation for the millennial reign and service to God in eternity to come.
Now, a lot of folks are confused, and I know you've got a book on the Great White Throne, too.
Yes.
A lot of, just real quickly, help them understand the difference in the judgment seat and the Great White Throne.
The judgment seat of Christ is for believers.
Yeah.
Those who have been born again. And it's not a judgment of sin. Our sin was judged on Calvary's cross.
That's right.
But this is a judgment an overview of our lives from the time we got saved until the rapture or our passing out of this time. And we will be evaluated. The gold, silver, and precious stones of things that are of spiritual value remain, and we get a reward for that. The wood, hay, and stubble, which is earthly material things, and no matter, is melted and burned away. And so the judgment seat of Christ is where believers, after the rapture, are going to have their lives evaluated. They're going to receive rewards. Those rewards then will be placed at the feet of Jesus, and they will then be turned into our responsibilities of ruling and reigning with Christ from that moment forward.
Yeah. All right. Now this really gets exciting. Your third point, why?
Yes.
Why is there a rapture? And you give seven reasons.
I have another book on the seven reasons for the rapture. The first part of that book says the questions about the rapture, and then seven reasons for the rapture. Number one, God's going to keep his promise. Number two, Jesus is going to get his bride. And number three, God has prophecy to fulfill with Israel.
Doc, have you got these memorized? How do you remember all these?
He needs to remove us out so he can start the Old Testament clock, so to speak, and finish the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy.
Yeah.
There are seven altogether that I list.
In other words, God's going to remove us, but he has at least seven reasons that you came up with.
Yeah, there's probably
why there needs to be a rapture. It isn't just because he misses us and he wants us. He's got plenty of saints up there already. He can live without us down up there.
Yep.
He's got a plan and a purpose.
Yes, he has.
All right, well, we're going to go on here, but let's just greet our partners out there. We appreciate everybody out there who supports us and partner. We call it partnering with us. You pray for us. You send us a check out now and then, or you donate. We are viewer supported. That's the only reason we're on television. And because we ain't got no money, and that's the truth. We joke about it. We don't. We barely make it every quarter, keeping this thing afloat. Doc and I get no salary, and we appreciate those of you who love our ministry. We appreciate hearing from many of you. Many of you message us, text us, send us emails. Some of you call on the phone, and I talk to you. And we have a good time. We appreciate you. And don't stop. We want to stay on here. We want to keep reaching people with the message that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. So contact us, and we got a brand new year here. Let's keep this thing going, okay? All right, Doc, that's point number three. Let's jump right into point number four, because the clock is running over there. Number four is the crux of the book.
Yes.
Who goes in the rapture? Every believer, and here's what you said, every believer that has died and those living since the church age began to its final moment will be caught away to meet the Lord bodily. In other words, so who goes in the rapture? Let's just share
some
thoughts.
That question, but I've had people say, well, do Jews go? Others will say, well, do backslidden people go? People that's quit church, do they go? Is only the people that are looking, expecting for the coming of Christ, because they take a statement out of the Bible out of context and say, only those that are looking for the coming of Christ. The reason is simple. Number one, they do not understand eternal security.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. If you understand eternal security in the fact that when you're born again, all your sin debt has been paid for. You now have the righteousness of Christ that's now been applied to your account. And once you are made a child of God through the adoption that follows as a part of this, you're never made, you've never cast aside.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I have five children. And if one of my children did something, and I could say, well, I'm going to disown you. I might disown them, but I cannot change the fact that they were born of me.
Yeah.
And if you're born again by the Spirit of God, I'm here to tell you, you're never unborn.
Well, I like something you said here in the book about that. You quoted Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You cannot be unsealed.
You can't be unsealed.
And God, and then you said this, if God makes no mistakes and does all things perfect, which he does, and then this was good, then he never unbirths or unsaves or unseals a person that he has sealed with the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Well said.
I'm confident that's what the Bible teaches. And so if a person understands eternal security, then they know who goes. Everybody that's born again goes.
Yeah.
Just because they're in prison, or just because they're, as you often say, at the bar table, or if they're at the gambling table.
Well, I look for some of my preacher friends at the tavern, so I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, really. Literally, a lot of people think that because so-and-so is backslidden, he's acting or she's acting as bad as a lost person. I understand from our perspective, we see it that way. But when God seals us, he doesn't unseal us. Nobody gets saved a second time.
Yep.
I'm working on another program. Hopefully by this summer I'll have it done to help people understand from the Bible how to stay in full fellowship with God. What happens when we sin, whether sin of omission or commission, when we sin, we fall out of full fellowship with God. And so you say, well, does God leave us out of way? No, God gives us the key in 1 John 1:9 of agreeing with him, confessing our sin, and we can be in full fellowship with him again. And so just because somebody's out of fellowship does not change their relationship.
Yeah. And that's right. And I give people several illustrations about this. The prodigal son is one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. The prodigal son is the son of his father.
Yes.
Both boys, the elder and the younger, were both children of the father.
Right.
So the young boy says, I want out of here. I'm tired of the rules. I've seen the lights out there. I've heard the music. I'm going out to the world. Give me my inheritance. And the father does. And out he goes. He's just as saved as his older brother is.
He's still a son.
Yeah. He's a son. And that is a story. That is a story about a backslidden young man.
Yeah.
That is not a story about a saved boy and a lost boy. They both have he's their father. The parable would not fit.
There again, that's allowing your Bible to interpret itself and give commentary on it.
See, you say this so often. You can make the Bible say anything you want it.
Oh yeah, you can.
And, you can take the story of the prodigal son. You could teach that in a way that the one boy is saved, the one is lost, and the lost boy went into and then he got saved at the hog pen.
We often take scripture and misapply it. A lot of times people use 1 John 1:9 in trying to deal with somebody about getting saved. 1 John 1:9 has nothing to do with the lost person.
That's not a salvation verse.
It's not on salvation. It's on how to get right with God as a saved person.
Yep.
Because God deals with folks, listen to me. Preachers, you need to catch this if you don't know it. In your Bible, anytime you find the word S-I-N, it's always in relationship to a lost man and his standing before God. Anytime you find S-I-N-S, plural, that's when you're dealing with God's people.
Yeah.
Because you never store, and this is an exciting thing, I can't wait to teach this. When you sin, you never store one sin. You store in your record that sin, omission or commission, and the sin against the Holy Spirit that's convicting you. That's why it's always plural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who goes is everybody that's been born again.
Yep.
That's period.
In fact, my second illustration is exactly that. The story of Lot is a picture.
Yes.
Before anyone even knew about that there was a rapture because it was a mystery, yet it was illustrated perfectly with the story of Lot.
That's right.
The angels come and say, "We make haste. I can do nothing till we get you out of here." Yep. In other words, wrath cannot come until the saints are delivered.
And the New Testament tells us he was a righteous man.
He
wasn't living righteous.
I'll show that to people. First Peter talks about just Lot vexed his righteous soul.
And nobody can declare an individual just except the judge on the throne. God and God alone is the only one that can declare you just.
Lot was just because he believed and trusted in the Messiah
That's
that was
right.
going to one day pay his sin debt.
Yeah.
Same story with King Saul. King Saul goes to the witch of Endor. It was against the law to do that. In fact, I think it was his law.
Right.
It was against the law, so he disguised himself because he was desperate. And he goes to the witch, and she brings up the crystal ball, and Samuel shows up in the ball. And she didn't do it because she was scared. And she said, "Why have you deceived me?" And remember, Samuel spoke.
Yeah.
And he said, "Today you and your son shall be with me." Well, where was Samson? Was he in hell? Not Samson, Samuel. No, he was in heaven. He was in paradise.
He was in paradise.
Abraham's bosom.
Yep.
And he said, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me."
Yep.
In other words, they're saved.
But there's all kinds of examples of people that were not living right with the Lord. But that doesn't mean that they're still not a child of the Lord.
And sometimes the Lord takes them home early.
Sometimes.
Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts were taken prematurely. They lied to the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And let's close, Doc, with this. And I wrote closing up here. Who does not go in the rapture? That's a good point.
Lost people do not go.
Yeah.
This is a catching away of the born-again saints of God. And there's going to be a lot of people that are religious. There are a lot of people sitting in churches right now that are waving their hands and swaying their bodies. They're saying the words, and they're getting all kinds of affirmation, and they're still lost in their sin. They're not going.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that I'm confident there's going to be a lot of people that claim that they're a Christian that are going to miss the rapture because they're not saved.
And Jesus even said that many will say in that day, "Lord."
Yeah. That's right.
And you know, he said, "I never knew you."
I never knew you.
Yeah.
You see, when you get saved, you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And what he's simply saying in that, if I look in the book of life, your name's not there because you've never believed on me. You've never really been saved. There are a lot of people, I'm confident. Most people think that there are going to be billions and billions go in the rapture. I do not think that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think there's as many going as people think, because the word Christian is applied to the Catholic Church, it's applied to the Mormon Church, it's tied to all of these different types of groups out here that don't even believe Jesus is the Son of God, or they got all you got to do these works in order to get salvations by grace alone.
Well, we got 30 seconds, Doc.
Well, I close it out on how to go in the rapture. That is, you got to be born again. It's that simple. You realize you're a sinner, and you realize what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And you respond to the love. He loved us first, and we respond to that. And you can be born again, change your destiny from hell to heaven by receiving Christ as your Savior.
And folks, I did that July 4th, 1981, 10 o'clock at night in Pembroke, Maine. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me, and you can do that too if you've not been saved. If you need any help with that, let us know. Go to the website, get Doc's book. You're going to love it. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.